You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Skulk Lowe. Skulk is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Great time to be in the JSE the last couple of days, and indeed tentatively in the last couple of weeks since the election.
No, it's sort of a deja vu feeling, Lindsay. I mean,
oh, yeah.
We lost at this, despite yesterday being the second largest trading day for the JSE in 1 year. No, the only day that really surpassed the JSE, over the past 12 months was when Powell said, "Well, that's it. I think interest rates will no longer be going up, and our next move will be down." And you remember, in December, that everybody just went haywire and say, "Well, we're going to have 6 rate cuts next year," and blah 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 blah. And that day, markets increase slightly more than it did yesterday. But what was interesting about yesterday, Lindsay, and if we sort of turn the clock back, to 15 February 2018. Now, why that's a significant date? Because today, President Ramaphosa has been sworn in for his second term. So, congratulations. We've officially got that one over the line. But, 15 February 2018 was the previous time it got sworn in. That was the day after, I'll say the morning after the day before. The previous day, 14th of February, wasn't only, Valentine's Day, 2018. That was the day President Zuma, resigned. He said, "That's it. He's not going to try and stop this Ramaphosa anymore. He resigned." And on that 15th of February 2018, the market increased by 3.7%. And yes, you're right. Yesterday we had a 3.5% day. So very, very similar. And I think what is important is I just went and said, well, what did the market do between 15th February 2018 and February 2019, and it actually dropped, 5% from those levels. Let's hope this time around. I don't want to sound cynical, because I'm actually going to end this off by putting my hand up first, saying that I do think that this time it feels different. I mean,
it does. I do. It does, Skulk, in a couple of different ways as well. Okay, the government is a coalition government, so it's not just almost, I won't say it's a dictatorship as it has been for the last 30 years, but it's less of a consensus. In other words, there's two other parties with varying degrees of influence that says to the powers that be in that coalition government, "No, wait a second, we don't like that. We don't think you should be doing that. We think you should be doing this because it creates jobs, etc." And it's the second time that President Ramaphosa has been sworn in, as you've said, second time lucky, a second term, a second chance. He must have learned a lot over the last few years, because he's had a rough time of his own making, I might add.
Lindsay, yes. I'm not a political analyst, and my mom, raised me as with a few valuable lessons. I think one of those valuable lessons is never talk about religion or politics. Never, ever. So, Mom, sorry, I'm gonna break that rule today. I think President Ramaphosa, they've always referred to President Zuma's chess playing skills, and for those who don't know him, and apparently is extremely good at it.
I find that hard to believe, but anyway, go on. Yeah.
Well, similar President Ramaphosa, and I think that the one thing that I definitely can say about the past, let's call it six, because we're talking about February 2018, six odd years. I know when you look at that meeting, the ANC meeting where he got elected, that was December 2017, where he got elected the president of the ANC, how it was not expected at all. Even if you ask any of the delegates 2-3 hours before the announcement made, it was expected that Nkosazana Zuma was going to be the next president of the ANC. And I think it was Julius Malema that actually came out with the tweet, I think 10 minutes before the actual announcement. And he just had this one sentence, "It's a boy."
That's quite clever.
Now, that's you know, clever in two ways. I mean, just the wordplay, I think, was phenomenal. But secondly, the fact that he already knew, you know, 2 minutes before the actual announcement, you know, was made. But anyway, be that as it may, I think I can't recall, you know, what the exact figures was in terms of, you know, who voted for Nkosazana Zuma and who voted for Ramaphosa. But it was something like 49.5% in Nkosazana Zuma and you know, 50.5% or even less. You know, it was literally a 50-50 scenario just going the way of President Ramaphosa. So he stepped into...
Well, thank goodness it was, because that tiny margin saved us. Although it was a different Zuma, the other Zuma would have been in the background without a doubt. So, yeah, we got away by the skin of our teeth in those days.
Exactly. But even I don't want to argue this side is better than that side. I'm going to argue that the one side is always going to try and prohibit it of the other side of advancing. I mean, if you've got a 50, we've seen it now with the Democrats and the Republicans in the US. What struggle that they've got just getting any you know, rulings, any changes, any policies to be made. I mean, it's just crazy. So I mean, that was the struggles that President Ramaphosa had. Then you had, you know, these. I mean, I literally just finished, you know, the writer's book. I'll get the name now again. But, I mean, I decided not to read that book. I really decided not to read that.
Can't you remember it?
I literally just finished it, so I'll get the...
Huge impression on you because you can't remember the title.
No. What was the book? Truth to Power. There we go.
Okay.
That's Truth to Power, and it's the whole, you know, Andre the Writer story. Now, I purposely did not read that book purely because it was so intense in the press, and what you could see, it was built around extreme negativity, and I just did not. I just decided not to press myself and not to read it, and now I read it, while the dust, you know, settled. Lindsay, it is unbelievable the obstacles President Ramaphosa had to sort of overcome over this past 6 years. And you know how many times he got this close again of being removed, not just as president of the country, but president of the ANC.
Yes, exactly.
So I mean, to get to this point where you now got a government of national unity, I mean, how crazy is that? You and I had many conversations the lead up to the elections. Nobody saw this coming. And if you told me, Skulk, this is what's going to happen, and on the 19th of June, we'll have President Ramaphosa being sworn in a government of national unity, you know, with these members, I would have told you, oh, get out of here. It's just that happening. I just can't see it.
It just shows you, Scout, that the South Africa has the ability to surprise. Just when you think it can't get any worse, it does get a bit worse. And just when you've given up all hope suddenly springs eternal. And that's why we mustn't be too complacent about what's gone on, the GNU and Ramaphosa and money coming into our financial markets, but enjoy it while you can. And on that note, Skulk, I want to talk a little bit about something that we noticed over the last few weeks. Do you remember the days back in earlier in the year? Like, I think February was the worst time when the volumes on the JSE were like 13, 14, 15 billion. I think it went for weeks without going over 20 billion. And just in the last couple of weeks, I'm sure it was you and I that were talking about it, suddenly there's been a regular 20 billion plus. And that seems to have coincided with the lack of selling by foreigners of bonds and equities. And they seem to be building positions in South Africa. Or am I being overly optimistic and fanciful? What do you think?
Mm. No, I don't need to think. I can read. I mean, yesterday we had a report being released by one of the biggest investment banks in the world. And there was a few, you know, the S&P, Morgan Stanley. But I mean, JP Morgan released a report yesterday, which I actually read. Mm. And I'm not going to bore everybody with the content. I think the most important thing, and it was the fact that they changed their outlook on South Africa from a underweight. They surpassed the at weight and skipped it all the way straight away to overweight.
Overweight. Brilliant.
Exactly. Now, what does that mean? I mean, and you just referred to it. So when somebody says, well, South Africa is underweight, let's just put that in context. Let's say there's a fund, a global fund, and that fund needs to sort of track. It's not a tracker fund, but it needs to run a fairly low tracking error, and it needs to follow a lowish tracking error towards the MSCI Emerging Market Index. Now, South Africa currently carries a weight of 3%. Inside that index. Now we know in the beginning of the year, we know a lot of fund managers and a lot of investment houses were actually fairly optimistic on emerging markets. So when somebody like JP Morgan says, well, we think you should run a underweight, that effectively mean that any fund that had 3% or 2.5% in their fund now say, well, you know what? No way. No, let's cut it down to 1%, maybe 1.5%. We'll have some exposure to South Africa, but big investment houses like JP Morgan says we should be underweight. So let's just cut that. And that's where you get net foreign outflow out of South Africa. That's what we've experienced for many, many years.
Yes.
You had just fund managers just disinvesting. They skipped that. They skipped that, let's call it that, at weight. And they went to overweight. So suddenly these fund managers say, oh, no, shucks, we're in trouble here. I mean, we can't only sit with maybe 1.5% in a position in South Africa. We can't even go to 3% because that's at weight. We now need to go to 4.5%, maybe 5%. And suddenly you get the 3 days that we've had, four days in a row where we've pretty much had, on average, a 30 billion value trade per day. And here's a little heads up, Lindsay. I mean, they say you only find out who's swimming without costumes when the tide actually pulls out. Now, many of our local fund managers, our local investment managers, yeah, they were just as short, just as sort of negative on South Africa. Yeah. And now suddenly need to cover those investments because, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, when a lot of investment, we see disinvestment in local fund management, in funds, disinvesting from the local funds, they don't give them investments to manage offshore as well. They find, I hate using the word professional, but for some reason, investors tend to think, offshore fund managers are more professional, investing offshore money.
Yes.
So now they're going to look really, really, really bad if the rand continue to strengthen, and the South African market continue to run, and they find themselves in the short position on that side. So, yeah, I think this could only be the start of a fun time in South Africa, not only for our market but also for our currency.
I really, really hope so, and I do admire the patience of the South African investor, the domestic investor, that is. And on that note, you're a bit of a fan of John Bickard, aren't you?
Oh yeah, no. I think he's eccentric. He's fun to listen. And for those who don't know him, he's got some good times. He's got some great times, and then there's some bad times.
Where
you need to wait. But in general, I think he's one of our.
Have a listen then. I spoke to him at length last night. From his home in New York, and there's a podcast featuring him, and he was in rare good form. He's obviously having a good time of it with the PSA with the value fund, and he sounds really, really chipper. So go to strictlybusinesspodcast.com and have a listen to John Bickard. It was really good. The other thing I want to tell you, your mother gave you some very sound advice about what not to talk to at braais or dinner parties. Now, Uncle Lindsay's going to give you one as well. If there's a good sprinkling of Englishmen there, don't talk about golden rugby. Please. Please. I beg you.
I will do so. I will definitely do so. There's another piece of sound advice.
Yes, exactly. That should stay with you. You pass that down to your children if you would. Now, let's have a look. I don't want to talk about specific stocks today. I will tell you that over the last 90 days, SPAR has risen by 33%. I will tell you that over the last 7 days, I think it is, First Round has gone up 20%. I mean, these are really, really big numbers. But I just want to talk about the feel-good factor that currently surrounds the JSE and the capital markets as well. And I'll start with some numbers. Dollar rand, 17.97. Not long ago, it touched 19. Couple How's of weeks, that? That's all. Yeah, brilliant. British pound, 22.87. And the euro rand is 19.31. That was 22 earlier in the year. 22, down to 19 nearly. Very good. Euro dollar, 107.45, barely changed. We've got the gold price at 2,326, having a quiet day, down $4. Platinum is up $14 to $988 an ounce, and palladium, $909 an ounce, up $28 or 3.2%. Now, what else have we got? I keep looking at the S&P, and if I have a few hours without watching it, I think, wasn't it 5,562 yesterday? And then I think, no, it was 5,462 36 hours ago. Just keeps on rocketing. 5,563 for the September futures. They've switched from June to September this week. So that's up very slightly. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield, very nice indeed. I think the world is having a look at Europe and having a look at Britain and having a look at their inflation rates. 2% in the UK now, the figure came out for May. 2% was 11.5% last year. That's an incredible performance, shooting up and shooting down. 4.23% for the US 10-year. The South African 10-year was about 11%. Again, I keep on saying that phrase not long ago, but it's true. 9.96%. So it's not 11, it's not 10. It's now in the nines, which is great. On to other commodities. Brent crude oil is slightly disturbing for the inflation outlook in the medium term, short and medium term. $85.73 for Brent crude, up 0.5%. And West Texas crude, $81.81, which is up 0.3%. And Bitcoin is taking a bit of a breather in the last few days, up a bit today, but it's just holding on to 65,000. I said I don't want to talk about individual stocks, Skulk, but you may want to. There may be something that really stands out as a beneficiary of the renewed Ramaphoria, or call it Gnuaphoria. Gnuaphoria? Yeah, Gnuaphoria.
You just coined a new phrase.
There we go.
Yeah, we can't talk about the U.S. stocks today. Naturally, it's Juneteenth Day today. It's a public holiday in the U.S., so that's why you see very, very little movement on
the futures. On the futures, yes.
Local front, only two companies brought out trading statements, so I wouldn't read into it, but I'm going to mention them anyway because I do think they SA Inc. Worthwhile mentioning. The one is Lipstar.
But their results came in. Yes, I saw that.
No, it's a trading statement.
Okay,
but. More importantly, for those people who don't know Lipstar, I mean, it's well known. They're food company, well known brands. They've got Denny's mushroom. They've got Lancewood cheeses. Many of the spices we eat every day. So it's a well known food brand. They came out with a trading statement saying that things really look good. I mean, when I look at the year-to-date revenue, so this is basically year-to-date ended May, up 4.6% already. So that is looking good. Market really, really loved it. And a share price reacted. Yes, we did see market being positive again, over 1.2%, but Lipstar moving 5.1%, so that was good. And then Fortress also came out with a trading statement. Why I'm mentioning Fortress, I wouldn't have usually mentioned Fortress. But I think the one thing that we haven't mentioned about this rally, you've mentioned the banks, you've mentioned the retailers like Spar and ShopRite. But the one that we haven't mentioned is our retail sector, real estate sector, our property. Yeah. I mean, when you look at our property sector, they were pretty much our best performing, one of our best performing asset classes locally last year. It was over 10% up, you know, for the 2023 year. Year to date, again, they are trading, you know, close to 12, 13% positive. And today we had another 3% movement. So we're sitting with local property sector that's currently, you know, about 15, 16% positive year to date. We're not even halfway through. And you can see more and more of these companies actually come out. So Fortress today, they came out with a trading statement also stating that, you know, year on year, the vacancies are looking all right. You know, when you look at the like-for-like tenant turnover, you know, compared to the previous year, that did increase. So that improved. And this is a company that's pretty much got 83% of their property portfolio in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Western Cape. So it's pretty much a South African property stock market. Again, also they loved it, and they were up over 2%, 2.2% for today. So property sector, that is one that I really, you know, sort of said earlier this year, I think we've got a lack of new stock coming through the market, and that sort of demand is definitely picking up. You know, when you've got more demand than supply, your prices do tend to go up. But I think in general, it's just been like you just mentioned, it was a feel-good, you know, Tuesday, and definitely a follow-up, you know, feel-good Wednesday.
Very good. On that property theme, by the way, HiProp has just updated on my screen as the biggest mover of the stocks that my screen evaluates. HiProp 7.3% higher. You've got Mass, MAS, 5.3% higher, and Redefine up 4.6%. Downside, Momentum Metropolitan 4.4% weaker. Is there a story there? You'll tell me. Renet down 3.3%. Truworths down 2.25%. MC Group down 2%, and just holding on to 100. And Hammerson down 1.9%. Scalp. But generally, a really, really nice couple of days, and the people that didn't get their fair share yesterday were buying today. And as you say, it's more or less across the board the gains, which I like. It's easy for simple people like me who don't do the analysis that you do.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you mentioned it. You know, we had a slowish day on the US. And usually, when you've got the US that is closed, you tend to have South African market being sort of non-responsive for that. That was not the case. We had a 3.5% day yesterday, and again another, you know, proper day for today. So let me actually jump into the closing prices. So the JSE All Share closed the day 14 points. Oh, what a day. That is up 965. So that's surpassing the 80,000 point mark, 1.21% up for the day. Resources again had a wonderful day, 2% for the day. Well, and industrials up 1.2%. Financials took a little bit of a breather. I think most probably to do with that the Metropolitan Momentum. I could not find them paying any dividends. So that is maybe just a bit of a breather. That is up 70 basis points for today. And as I mentioned, the SA Property Index up just shy of 3% for the day. And here we've got the final figure. We've surpassed another 30 billion value trade for the day. 33 billion traded for today. So what a, let's call it, 4-day, you know, we've had on the JSE.
On that note, just as a quick aside before you run off and celebrate, JSE Limited, what's that been doing in the last couple of weeks? Has it shown any signs of life, given the signs of life in the volume figures that we're seeing?
Let's quickly have a look, because I would need to guess that that would be the case, but I want to actually see, you know, that's actually a valid point. So when we look at the share price, wow, man, it looks like Burj Khalifa.
Really?
Yeah. You know, if you look at the closing price on the 11th of June.
Yes.
So okay, let's use 12 June. 12th June, the share price closed at 95 Rand. Mm. Today, trading at, and closed, 107 Rand. So
that's a big move.
That's big moves. That is big moves. I think this the market is, Mr. Market is telling us that you know, high daily turnover should be good for the JSE.
Very simple correlation. Very simple correlation. Yeah, good. Okay, Skulk, thank you very much for your excellent time as always. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.